as the Lord may be pleased to help me, I'll again direct your attention to Psalm 106, reading verse 4. Psalm 106, verse 4. Remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation. We speak mainly this morning of the answer to the request. But the request runs like this: remember, remember, O Lord. It is very clear in what direction it is directed. It is to the Lord. I say, where are our requests directed? Is it to the Lord? Is it in the same direction as our praises and psalms of thanksgiving? But the psalm, he says, remember. Now, I'm sure we all know what it is to remember. We know that we are taught in life to remember, not to just children with their word tests. They learn words by word, so that they might remember. It's stored away in the head. I say, here is the psalmist speaking to Almighty God, saying, remember. But surely, God never forgets anything. He ever remembers. But so he would recall the Lord's former goodness and mercy. Remember, Lord, me with the favour that thou bearest to thy people, as thou hast helped them, so help me. Slightly indicating that, well, I may not be amongst thy people, but nevertheless, I want to come in amongst them. I want to be found amongst them. The Apostle Paul, speaking of himself, he said, it is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now, that's the line of teaching. But Paul here comes in with another line of teaching, of whom I am chief. Some might think, well, I am not worthy to be numbered amongst thy people. But so the plea runs like this: remember me just as I am, what I am, that I may obtain, that I may be given the same mercy and same favours that thy people of old possessed. Remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. The Lord was very favourable to his servant Abraham. And why was Abraham, of all the people in the land of the Chaldees, so mercifully favoured? A big question, but my friend, he was. And what do we find the Lord saying unto Isaiah, unto Abraham rather. He said, walk before me and be thou perfect. And when Abraham was 99 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. Friend, God speaks here of a covenant with Abraham. He bid Abraham to walk before him perfectly. How can he walk before him perfectly, some might say, with the favour that the Lord puts it has towards his people by giving them a humble and a tender conscience to walk before him. Abraham, my friend, he went astray, and so have you, and so have I. Oh, we would not forget it. But nevertheless, we would pray to him, Lord, as thou had mercy upon Abraham, so have mercy and compassion upon me. Twice he denied that his wife was his wife, but said it was his sister. See how God wonderfully intervened for Moses, for Abraham. He did not allow anybody to touch Sarah whilst in their company. My friend, remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people, that thou would take away all that fear that is in me by nature. The word of God says, the fear of man, it bringeth a snare. And friends, we are full of fear if we're not kept, and it will be a snare to us. Oh, what a favour then to be made faithful and to be made strong, ever indeed to keep the Lord Jesus Christ in view. I say, would not good Peter go along with this line of thought? For he verily thought he was strong, he was confident, he was streets ahead above his fellow disciples. They might forsake thee, they might indeed deny thee, but not I. I'll even die for thee. Oh, I say, does it not cause us to bow our knee before Almighty God and say, pray for me, oh, pray for me, even as thou didst pray for Peter. Pray for me, Lord, that my faith fail not. Oh, I say, how close did Peter come to that, of his faith failing him? How close we have come from time to time, fearing that our faith will forsake us and leave us also. A favour, my friend, if the Lord has put you among the faithful. That is a good word, isn't it? Faithful. Not empty, but full. Full. My friend David said, my help cometh from the Lord. Do you go along with that? Or do you come in with the modern idea of faith is an act that we must act ourselves and obtain salvation? Do we really believe that we can believe, my friend? No. Remember me, O Lord, with that favour thou bearest unto thy people, that my faith may be strengthened. When? Why, from day to day, or from hour to hour, and renewed day by day. Lots of views, isn't there, with regards to the virtue of faith. But friend, heavenly things come from heaven. True faith is a heavenly virtue, and therefore it comes from heaven. We need the renewing of our faith day by day. Faith, my friend, ever acts according to its nature. You take a compass in your hand and you'll ever see magnetic north point toward the north. Say, why does it? Some will say, well, it's the laws of nature. Well, put it that way, if you will. It's God's creation. So I say, is faith in the same way will always point in the same direction. If our faith is pointed to self, then there's something very wrong with it. It's very, very weak. And in fact, it's not the faith that you think it is. It's not the faith that God giveth. For the faith that God giveth will ever be directed to Jesus Christ. Friend, it is that faith. Come very close to what we were speaking of this morning with regards to prayer. Why, our prayers will be directed towards him. What a favour. But to know that he hears us and answers prayer. The word clearly tells us the promise of Almighty God to his people. Do you come within the compass of that promise? For he has said, I will meet thee there, and there will I commune with thee from above the mercy seat. Showing us verily that communion is known as we approach through the mercy seat, where we seek for pardon and forgiveness, when we come in the capacity of a poor and needy sinner, one by God's most holy law is utterly condemned. I say, I will meet thee there. Remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. How can we come to the mercy seat without a high priest? Remember that the high priest was the appointment of God and not man's appointment. No, the appointment of God. I will meet thee there. There will I commune with thee according to the appointment of God. There is only one high priest, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, just read in the epistle to the Hebrews how the Lord speaks of there of Jesus the high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Not one that is altered, not one that is changed under the custom of the Jews. No, not one that grows tired and weary and that needs to be relieved and another put in his place. No. Remember me with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. Lord, thou great high priest above, hear thou me from heaven thy dwelling place. You know, sometimes that we have said to people, well, if you are in trouble and need me, then ring me. It doesn't matter whatever time of day it might be. But my friend, Almighty God, this is the favour of his people, that he does surely draw near to them. He surely understands them. He is ever watching over them. We sometimes use that word, indulgent God. How kind are all thy ways to me. And my dark, benighted mind was enmity to thee. That is a wonderful word, I think, in that sense, indulgent, ever involved, ever watchful, or ever watching over, ever keeping us, guarding and preserving us on every hand. When we are asleep, maybe when we are unconscious, maybe indeed when calamities have overtaken us, he is an indulgent God. Remember me with that favour that thou bearest unto thy people. There are some poor souls who know not such a God as this and have not an inkling of this favour. They have to go through other channels and other means. That's what they think. And still they never get there. They never get there. They cannot get there. You say, are you sure of this? Why, Jesus said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. This is a favour that thou bearest unto thy people. I was once waiting for some children to come out of the Roman Catholic Church, and the gardener from the local convent came back panting and puffing on his bicycle, and he said, oh Holy Father, I have forgot one. What he meant, a sin he'd overlooked at the confessional. And what did he say? He said, never mind, John. He said, give me 5 shillings and I'll see to it. John gave him the 5 shillings and went away happy. And so did indeed the priest at that church. But my friend, Jesus was not there. It was sin upon sin. Oh, the favour that we bear unto his people. Friend, his charges are nil, for he has paid it all himself. He has paid himself. Yea, we may prove to be debtors to ourselves, oh, for all the Lord's loving kindness and all his mercy unto us. But never, never doth he require anything at your hand. It is as the hymn writer puts it, payment he doth not twice demand. First at your bleeding shortest hand, and then again at mine. No. The favour that he beareth unto his people, that my friend, the poor soul, that knows himself to be completely bankrupt and has not a grain of righteousness to call his own, that he surely has nothing in his hand to bring, he has to come just as he is. What a favour that he bears unto his people. In that wonderful parable, where we read of it that he frankly forgave them both. In other words, there was nothing more to pay, although they previously owed so much, but now they were completely forgiven. The favour that he bears unto his people, he shows to poor sinners the truth. It sweeps aside, my friends, our carnal reasoning, our own thoughts often run like this. Well, I must do something. I must make some contribution. My friend, but what can you bring to make a contribution to your salvation, to the pardon and forgiveness of all your sins? That is beyond your reach. But it was not beyond the reach of your Lord and Redeemer to pay the entire debt that we owed. I say, not a contribution, but complete, my friend. Indeed, is our debt been paid by Jesus Christ. So the psalmist here has this glorious view of the Lord and says, remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. He goes on to say, visit me with thy salvation. We know what it is to be lonely, and perhaps hope and wish that somebody would just come in to see us and pay a visit. And we perhaps are thankful when such visitors come when they are gone. But here the psalmist said, oh, visit me with thy salvation. He'll be thankful for the Lord's messenger. He'd be thankful for his message. But friends, he wants to come nearer. He wants to come closer than that. We read of one whom the Lord did visit. He said, Zacchaeus, this day I must abide at thy house. Friend, he was a visitor, not looked for, but a visitor that had come to stay. I say, have you got such a visitor in your life and experience? It could be said that Zacchaeus' life was never the same again, was it? And it must be said also that our lives will never be the same again when we have such a heavenly visitor. And he comes to our poor troubled breast. I say, what a beautiful union was known and realized in the house of Zacchaeus. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't point out to him all his faults and failings and what a vile sinner he was. Not in word. He didn't have to. For surely the Lord there and then convicted him and convinced him of his sins. He had no room to stand on and say, but that's not so of me. I'm a man of better principle than that. No. He said, Lord, the half of my goods will I give to the poor, and that which I have taken on false pretenses I will restore fourfold. The work of grace, it changes, it alters. I say, Zacchaeus could never be the same man again. And if we look back in our past lives, do we bear that mark that he bears unto his people? We are never the same again. Surely this is the true seal and mark of a child of God. Fearing sometimes that many there is no change or alteration in, only by name, but nothing in deed and in action. Many indeed may be baptized and attend the communion table, but what has been the change and alteration in them? It is, as one good man used to put it, they were buried alive and rose again alive in their trespasses and sins. Instead of dying with Christ and rising to a newness of life in him. My friend, oh, is it our cry, our prayer to him, oh, visit me with thy salvation. Let something known and done that will last forever. Others may say, I cannot enter into such ordinances as that because I cannot trust myself, or I fear that I may be like other characters who have made shipwreck of faith and so put off that day. Friend, they do not will, do they? Oh, but surely when we have this prayer upon our lips, oh, visit me with thy salvation. Lord, instill it there, lay it there. The Lord did surely visit Peter of old, did he not? Oh, read his beautiful epistles. I can but exhort you to read them more and more. Those short sentences, kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Oh, visit me with thy salvation. Lord, and ever keep me, ever preserve me, and ever protect me from turning back again. I believe the psalmist had a love in his heart here, because the Lord had put a love in his heart. He wanted the Lord to be near him. He wanted the Lord to be close unto him. How near do you want the Lord to come unto you? Do you want it to be just in the vicinity, but not in your house? Do you want it to be in your house, but not in your heart? Oh, visit me with thy salvation. Friend, surely that poor sinner cannot get close enough to Jesus Christ. Oh, a desire to be nearer and nearer to him. Why? One, to know that we have a love to him. It is sometimes like the hymn writer put it. Do I love the Lord or no? Oft it causes anxious thought. Am I his or am I not? Of course, my friends, if we have a love to him, we shall always be deeply concerned when that is brought into question and being brought to the test. Simon bar Jonas, lovest thou me, brought all to the very, very test. Lovest thou me more than this? We know the incident in which that was spoken to Peter. But if that was spoken to us, how would we be? How would we fare? More than this. That is, more than everything else. Blessed is that man that can truly sing often, I could from all things parted be, but never, never, Lord, from thee. Excuse me. Remember me, said the thief on the cross as we read this afternoon, when thou comest into thy kingdom. Some may have said, why didn't he say, remember me now? Friend, he was a dying man. A dying man viewing a dying Saviour. He was a dying man viewing the circumstances that were changing second by second. Thus I say, oh, his case was an urgent case. But is his case more urgent than yours and mine? Oh, remember me with that favour that thou bearest unto thy people. Why, you have a colleague here who has taken in the same crime with you. You have one here who has been speaking like you, with contempt to the Lord Jesus Christ. He goes on saying, if thou be the Son of God, save thyself and us. But I say, that was not so with this dear man. All heaven was set before his eyes, and the reality of sin and death he was in the grips of, knowing that the wages of sin is death. Where could the poor man look to? Where can you and I look to? Only to Jesus Christ and to him alone. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. We can see beyond all doubt where the thief's eyes were focused. He surely believed that Jesus was the Son of God, the sacrifice for sin. He could surely believe that Jesus would die, but he also would rise again. and enter into his kingdom. Yes, I should die, and there will be a resurrection. But where shall I be found in that great day? Will the solemn divide now come to separate me from the Lord Jesus Christ? I say, what can we say? And I say, how can we argue matters out when under such condemnation? Only but to look to the Lord Jesus Christ for mercy and for compassion. Oh, visit me with thy salvation. And surely he did visit the thief in that dying hour by saying, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. And recently I heard it argued and said he, Jesus lived on after that, might beyond that day. The ignorance that is shown. In heaven, my friend, there shall be no night. There will be only one day. And as we once spoke from, I believe here, 1,000 years is as one day, and one day as 1,000 years. I don't believe at one moment there's any inaccuracy in the words of Jesus when he said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. That by faith that dear man would die in the Lord and would be raised again on the resurrection morn to be forever with his Lord, a saved sinner. I say, what does the resurrection morn hold for you and I? This question I leave with you. This question I will ask you to consider. By say, is this our prayer? Is this our cry? Remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation. Amen.